Shmos continuing. We're at the stage where the Torah tells us Moshe is acting as a shepherd for Yisro, taking care of the sheep. And he comes to, it says, the mountain of HaKadosh Baruch Hu called Chareva. And the Malach appears to him in a flame of fire. It says again that Moshe became the shepherd of Klal Yisrael with the compassion he showed for sheep first, I would say exponentially given to Klal Yisrael. Chareva, the Har of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rashi tells us, was Sinai. It would only be called Sinai later, and the general location is called Chorev. The Torah tells us of the first revelation that Hashem has with Moshe. It tells us there was a fire, a malach, and then finally the Rabboni Shel Olam. Because Moshe was receiving a prophecy for the first time, it had to be gradual. The same way as when you walk out of a dark room into the sunlight, bit by bit, you have to adjust your eyesight. First, Moshe was shown the fire that was burning and did not consume the bush, the thorn bush. He saw this. He became obviously intrigued, and he moved towards it. Right? When he did that, the Malach, the angel in the fire, revealed itself, and he became, it says, accustomed to now being in the presence of an angel, and then a Kadosh Baruch Hu appeared. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to him initially in the name of his father, the God of Amram, and then he said he was the God of Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. And when we look at this Parsha, in this Sedra, we see the name Elohim, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu of justice, because Egypt was about to get its just reward. In the three places, it says, where he later reveals himself to Moshe, he's called Hashem, the God of mercy, who's going to save Klal Yisroel. The bush was burning, would not be consumed. This was a symbolism of the Egyptian exile. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyachal, had his Shechina in a lowly thorn bush. Because when Klal Yisroel is in exile, HaKadosh Baruch Hu too is suffering. And the sneh, the thorn bush, could not be extinguished, would not burn because it was Klal Yisroel. And Netzach Yisroel, the everlasting nature of Klal Yisroel is not able to be destroyed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Hineini. He called him out. And Moshe responded, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm willing to do what you want. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, remove your shoes from your feet, because in places of Kedusha, as in the Mishkan and as in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim walked without anything on their feet, and the Rambam says this is the first occasion. It says removing shoes implies that Moshe gave himself unreservedly, with no impediment between himself and the Admas Kodesh, the holy ground. He was trying to basically understand to the greatest extent. That's Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch. And Moshe is given the mission. I have seen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the destitute state of the Jews in Mitzrayim. I have heard their cries. And I know all the travails they're in. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I have a raid. I will descend. Which is interesting, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyochel is having his Shechina descend into Mitzrayim in order to bring Klal Yisroel out and Eretz Yisroel. And now, he says to Moshe, go, you are my messenger. It is your task to redeem them. The Atah, the now, is here a second time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses this word to basically, again, emphasize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is at the point of action. There could no longer be any delay in the beginning of the redemption process. The Medrash tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he spoke to Avram in the Bris Bein Absorim, said there is a period of slavery and there is a fixed time for its end. And he said to Moshe, the time is now. It says that the Egyptians had tried to confine the nation to Goshen now, a small area. They wanted to create the first ghettos in history. And they had become overzealous, the Ramban tells us, in their enslavement of the Jews. And had they not gone to the extent they had, going above and beyond what HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have wanted, they may have not suffered the fate they're about to embark upon. Hashem, in saying to Moshe, go now, he tells Moshe that I'm guaranteeing your success. Then we are told that for 7 days, Moshe argued, as the Kodesh Baruch Hu urged him to go to Mitzrayim. Moshe first considered himself unworthy and lacking the talents to achieve the goal. He moreover felt that he couldn't succeed because either Paro and or the Jews would not believe him. And Moshe, it seems, didn't comprehend how the Jews, right, were now at a stage where they basically were worthy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's miracles. HaKadosh Baruch Hu started talking, convincing, etc. And at the end of the lengthy discussions, say the 7 days, Moshe, we're told, came up with a new argument. He said, it's really not proper that I become the leader because Aaron, my brother, the Gadol Hador, has been there. He's the one who suffered. He's the one who's led the Jewish people. The Chazal point out that how do we understand Moshe should try to refuse a request by the Rabboni Shel Olam? It says in the Medrash that when God commanded him to go to Paro and take Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, he seemed to think that he was going to somehow do this, Moshe, right? And somehow he began to sense that there would be heavy human involvement in this, let's call it this event. And he didn't feel that he should account for miracles because of the concept of Ein Somchim Al Hanes. We may not rely on a miracle to help in our mission. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously argued against all of this and gave him the necessary advice that he would eventually go. Moshe, it said, had to evaluate himself. He was the most humble of any person. The Ramban says that Hashem would tell him during these 7 days that Paro would not listen. And at first he did not guarantee that the Jews would believe in him. And the possibility of no one believing Moshe was in his mind. And therefore Moshe said, how can a human being be sufficiently adequate to accomplish the redemption without divine intervention and knowledge of divine miracles to come? The Chazal tell us this is the same way that when Avram did not ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring a miracle to save Sodom and Gomorrah. He tried to use whatever tools he had as a spiritual mortal. And that's as far as it went. We should note, Chazal tell us, that it was Moshe's fear of not accomplishing the mission, of failing at the task, that was his greatest concern. But we should also note that Moshe never said to the Rabboni Shel Olam, I'm on the FBI, of Mitzrayim's number one wanted list. How can I go back there? He never said that. That was not a concern, his personal safety. His greater concern was fulfilling the mission. Moshe, the Sfas Emes, said to the Rabbona Shel Olam, and the Klei Yoker as well, how could the Jewish people rid themselves of all the spiritual contamination they had basically subsumed within themselves by virtue of their existence? Because he knew that they would have to break away from that in order to be saved. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, as soon as they leave Mitzrayim, they will absolutely discard any legacy or culture of Mitzrayim, and 7 weeks later, they're going to stand at Sinai where you are now. They're going to get the Torah. They're going to serve me on this mountain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, you need not fear Paroi, because I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to be with you at all times. And the future merit of Klal Yisroel, that they are going to accept Torah, is sufficient reason for them to be free people. And we're told that people can be judged by Shemayim not necessarily on what they have done, but on what they will do, something which human beings obviously can never fathom, because we never know what we're going to do in the future. Moshe then said to the Rabbona Shel Olam, Omar Lee, they're going to say to me, Mashmoy, Mo Omar Aleichem. He says that the Jewish people are going to ask, what's the name of this deity? And what should I tell them? And Hashem says, tell them, Eya Asher Eya. I am, let me just translate it as Art Scroll does, I shall be has sent you. Say to the people of Klal Yisroel, the God of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov has sent me, Moshe. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name forever, Eye, the Vezichri L'Doyer V'Doyer. And this is my remembrance from generation to generation. The name Eyesher Eyeh is the Hoya Hoyve V'Yeh. Hashem was, is, and will be. The omnipresence in all times of the Rabbona Shel Olam. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu exercises judgment, the name Elohim is used. When he does miracles, he is called Shakai. And Moshe was saying that once the Yidden would accept that he is being sent by the Rabbona Shel Olam, they would want to know which attribute it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is appearing to them as. Eya Sher Eya, right? This itself is a divine name, as Unkelus says. He doesn't translate the words. Rashi says, I shall be with them in this sorrow as I will be with them in future sorrows. To this, Moshe said, isn't the fact that they will have recognition of today's evil sufficient? Why must I give them a message that there will be future gullus as well? HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted Moshe's argument, and he said, tell them Ehaya will appear to them. Then it says, and it's Vayomer Oid Elohim B'Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues telling Moshe, you should say, the God of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov has sent me, and he's to go and gather the Zakenim, the elders, and he's going to tell them the message, and he's going to, he's going to get them, Hashem says, to go with him to Paro. Moshe was not supposed to initially go to Paro on his own. There was supposed to be the quasi-Sanhedrin in that day appearing with him. Okay. Moshe continues, and he says, I really am, I guess, dubious that they're going to listen to me. And Hashem then said the signs that he could give to Klal Yisroel, the staff which he threw down and became a snake, and which later ate the snakes of Paro's magicians when it turned back into a stick. He put his hand into his bosom and it came out like tsoras. And because he basically and somehow had spoken Lashon Hara on the Jews. And then he said to them, if these two signs fail to impress the Jewish people, you can take water from the Nile, pour it on the dry land, and it'll turn to blood. And Moshe continues, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't speak so well. You remember I burnt my tongue, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, who gives the power of speech to anyone? Right? And he says to him, eventually, I'm going to give Aaron the task of being your spokesperson. Because I know he fully knows how to speak. And you are going to go meet Aaron, who will meet you besimcha. You are to give him the messages, you're to relate to him what has happened, and he will be glad to see you. When Moshe goes back to Mitzrayim, and he approaches the Jewish people, he says, Pakod Pakadati, Hashem is going to remember you, Pakod Pakadati. And with those words, the Jewish people believe in Moshe. The Gemara tells us that Sarah, the daughter of Usher, was still alive. She lived hundreds and hundreds of years. And she remembered that Yosef had told his brothers, and they had handed down the tradition, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Redeemer will say, Pakod Pakadati. And to the credit of Klal Yisroel, when Moshe mentioned these words, they accepted him. We know that Moshe tells the Jewish people they should go get ready for the redemption. He tells the elders to accompany he and Aaron, right, to see Paro. He goes to, but the elders are scared out of their pants and they shy away. Different ones leave on the message, on the way. Moshe and Aaron go to Paro and say, okay, the Almighty told us, Sisganig, the time has come for you to release the Jewish slaves, to allow them to be free. And we know that this is the failure attempt. We know that Paro scoffs and he makes it worse on the Jews for a period of time. He says, you'll no longer get raw materials. Not only do you have to produce the same amount of bricks daily, you've also got to now scrounge around for the raw materials to make them, and it becomes really a difficult, difficult situation. The people say to Moshe, look what you did. You made our lives worse. Where is this great redemption? And Moshe returns to Hashem and he says to the Rabbona Shalom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why have you seen to make things worse? Why did you make me a messenger to create an even more severe and difficult situation? Why didn't you start the Golus process right now? And the last pasuk in our parsha tells us, Hashem said to Moshe, Atah, now you're going to beginning to see what I'm going to do with Paro, because with a strong hand, he is going to drive the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim, out of his land. And that's how our parsha ends. And we pick up next week where HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues to tell Moshe, you're the first guy to give me this tzoras, the forefathers, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, didn't challenge me like this. Okay. Thanks.